On this Sunday, which is the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, it's as if the Church is proposing for us to ask a question. Who is this God that we worship? Or perhaps even, what is this God that we worship? This God who we just finished celebrating this mystery of redemption, where he died and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts and into this church so that we might gather in worship of him. Who is this God that we worship? And if we're being honest, that's a really hard question, because if you look around at the people sitting next to you, you might not even be able to really answer, who is this person next to me? Even those of you who've been married for like 40 or 50 years are probably saying, now, who exactly did I marry on some days? We struggle to know the people who are like us. And so that becomes even more challenging to know who God is when he is so unlike us that we can't even perceive him with our senses, with our eyes, with our hands, with our ears. And so it takes pondering the mystery to start to understand who God is. In the readings today, the Church is helping us to begin to understand this. In Exodus, we hear the name that the Lord gives to Moses. He calls himself the Lord, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity. And it's really important to know the context of when our Lord is telling this name to Moses. Moses is just getting back up the mountain. He had gone down the mountain after receiving the commandments and the law from God, and discovered that the Hebrew people were in a festival of debauchery, in every sense of the word debauchery, worshiping this Egyptian deity Apis, who happens to look like a calf that they made out of gold. And they had just pledged fidelity to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had just said, "We'll be faithful to you." And within days, they're going back on their word. And so Moses has gone back up Mount Sinai to approach the Lord and ask forgiveness for the Hebrew people, that he not destroy them for this offense. And God's response is that he is a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity. We see that response both in his name and in his action, because he didn't destroy the people. He did make them wander through the desert for quite a bit after that, so that maybe they might learn who God really is. But in Exodus, we're beginning to understand who our God is. And then in the reading from St. Paul's letter to the second letter to the Corinthians, he speaks of those three persons of the Trinity and their importance for each of us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. If that sounds familiar, it's because it's how we greet one another at the beginning of Mass after the sign of the cross. That's exactly where we got it from. There's so much scripture in the Mass that we might not notice unless we're paying attention. But St. Thomas Aquinas breaks open that short phrase to help us understand why it matters. St. Thomas says that in that single sentence, St. Paul shows us that God has given us everything that we need. That we receive the grace of Christ by which we are made just and have been saved through the power of the cross. That we receive the charity of God the Father by which we are united with him both on this earth and in heaven. And we receive this fellowship, this communion of the Holy Spirit, who gives us all of these divine gifts. And then in the gospel, we reach that reading which has probably the most well-known verse out of any book anywhere, John 3:16. and it reveals to us the most important thing that any of us needs to know. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but shall have eternal life. That God the Father sent his Son to us out of love to save us, and that he sent his Holy Spirit through his Son out of love to bring life into us and to communicate those gifts we were talking about. Bringing it all together, I found some words from Pope Benedict in one of his talks that he gave on Trinity Sunday once. He said that God is the creator and merciful Father. He is the only begotten Son, eternal wisdom incarnate, who died and rose for us. He is the Holy Spirit who moves all things, cosmos and history, toward their full and final goal. Three persons who are one God, because the Father is love, the Son is love, the Spirit is love. God is holy and only love, the purest, infinite, and eternal love. And he does not live in splendid solitude, but rather is an inexhaustible source of life that is ceaselessly given and communicated. This mystery of our Trinitarian God bound together by this love is reflected through all of creation, this communion of the Trinity of three persons who are at the same time one divine essence, one supreme Godhead. It's visible throughout nature, this mystery of three and yet one. Now, the numbers aren't always three in nature. For example, yesterday I had the privilege of celebrating a wedding. Something incredible happens at marriages. Two people become one in a very real way. And although you see two people still, their life is now together forever on this earth. Or just looking at ourselves, our bodies, they have many parts. I have 10 fingers, but they're all Father Matt's fingers. Or if we zoom out a little bit, we have communities of human beings who get together and work for a common cause as one, even though there are many people involved. And it's not just humans who do this. If we look at nature around us, we see many animals forming flocks or packs or herds, working together as one for their community. And it's not even just the animals. If we zoom out some more, we have 9 planets, because Pluto is a planet, I don't care what they say. We have 9 planets and a sun that work together and form this solar system that makes it possible for us to live on this earth. We see this unity and diversity through all of creation. It's this wonderful relationship of the three persons of the Trinity that have been reflected by all of nature and nature's seeming desire to be in relationship. In a beautiful way, when we ponder the mysteries of our God, it reveals to us creation. And when we ponder the mysteries of creation, it reveals our God to us. Our mysterious God is never going to be fully understood by us. Even when we get to heaven and don't have these human eyes in the way of perceiving his glory, we'll never fully understand him. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. It doesn't mean we shouldn't try to grasp at the glory of God and the wonder of his creation. Because let's be honest, who doesn't really love a good mystery?